heirs of the new covenant. Maybe some of you have been watching the CNN series Finding Jesus. One episode tries to find Jesus in archaeology, and there's not much there. Another episode tries to find Jesus in the late 2nd century Gnostic writing called the Gospel of Judas. Again, you don't find much Jesus there, which you have an angry rant against the church and a demeaning of the other 11 disciples. And for that matter, this is written 150 years after Judas. I've only seen three of the episodes, but it strikes me that this is one more of those attempts to read the Bible through the skepticism of so-called scholarship. A better place to find Jesus is in the Old Testament. That's right. When you find Jesus in the Old Testament, you understand him better in the New Testament. Our faith would be immeasurably impoverished if we didn't have Old Testament prophecy. We'd have no certainty that salvation was a plan of God from the beginning and then announced over centuries before being brought to pass in the life of Jesus. We'd have no people of God waiting for the Messiah and capable of identifying, based on the Old Testament, that Messiah when he came. There would be no cross-referencing to assure that what he taught and what he did matched up with what the Messiah should do. In fact, apart from Old Testament prophecy, we have no context for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The apostles in the book of Acts, in most of their sermons, are demonstrating how Jesus fulfills Old Testament prophecy as the Messiah. Each year, the people of Israel gathered for one unique prophecy, a ceremony that pointed ahead to Jesus, the Lamb of God. And Jesus, on the night before his death, assures us that that Passover meal is fulfilled in the body and blood that he sacrificed to save us. The Passover points to Jesus, the Lamb of God. But can we be sure that this is really a prophecy? Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. John's gospel says that a Roman soldier thrust a spear into Jesus' side rather than breaking his legs to assure that he was dead, so that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, not a bone of him will be broken. Now, there's no Old Testament passage that says that, except in the Passover, God's requirement that not a bone of the Passover lamb be broken. The Apostle Peter says, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And as you heard from Exodus 12, that was the position description for the Passover lamb. In fact, this whole term, the Lamb of God, from the time that John the Baptizer introduces Jesus with that term to the book of Revelation, where we're told that Jesus is the Lamb before the throne of God, is a depiction of the Savior. All the themes of the Passover point to Jesus. And Jesus uses the elements of the Passover to institute the Lord's Supper. God created a whole new calendar year for the people of Israel with the Passover. They would hereafter, in their ceremonial or their festival year, begin in the month Nisan, the month in which the Passover was to be celebrated. Very much like our church year, their festival year was unique, separate from the world's calendar year. This was something new. In the last Old Testament Passover, the one Jesus celebrated with his disciples that Maundy Thursday, Jesus initiated something else that is new. He took the bread of the Passover meal and said, this is my body. He took the third cup, the cup of blessing from the Passover meal, and he said, this is my blood. As you receive the sacrament this evening, I'd like you to think about everything that Jesus made new. You live in a whole new life of forgiveness and salvation, free of Old Testament ritual and Gentile darkness, free of the uncertainty and the fear of your guilt, free of slavery to sin, free of fear of death. You and I live in the era of Earth's history, the bold new era of Christian faith and witness, of Christian mission. And what Jesus did is to make you brand new, a whole new spiritual life with new strength, new joy, new power. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. The Passover was a communal meal. It was to be celebrated at the same time by all of God's people according to families. It was a reminder that people had been made one with their God and now expressed a oneness with each other, a fellowship of love and unity. And that fellowship was rooted in truth because God instituted that no foreigner should participate in the Passover unless he had first been instructed and brought into the family of faith by circumcision. Jesus, in instituting the Lord's Supper, continued that sense of a communal meal. He preceded it, as you heard again this evening, with the exhortation to love one another. And in that meal, there is a communion of bread with Christ's body, wine with Christ's blood, believer with God, and Christian with other Christians. And this, like the Old Testament Passover meal, is a fellowship rooted in truth. We practice close communion because we can't ask somebody by communing with us to state that they agree with us if we haven't first had the chance to instruct them. As you approach the Lord's table this evening, think about not only the oneness you have with your God, but the oneness in Christian love that you have with each other. I'd ask you to hold hands up here at the altar, but that might be just a little too touchy-feely for you Lutherans. The lamb of the Passover was set apart from the rest of the flock for 4 days before it was killed. It was to be a yearling lamb, perfect, without blemish or defect. In the same way, St. Peter describes Jesus as holy, blameless, and set apart from sinners. It was necessary that he be perfect so that his death in our place would be a sufficient price to take away our sin. And as you come forward to the Lord's table tonight, I'd like you to think about how God is transferring the holiness of his Son Jesus to you as he takes your sin away and punishes it on his Son. With the lamb, the people of Israel were to eat unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Leaven or yeast was a symbol of the sin that permeates our human nature, as St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. The bitter herbs were a reminder of their bitter slavery in Egypt, the slavery from which their God had rescued them. In our sacrament, we still use unleavened bread. No bitter herbs. Just the bitter remorse of repentance. As you realize just how much you have offended your God with your sin, how bitter the consequences of that sin would have been were it not for Christ. How bitter the suffering and death that he endured in your place. A central theme of the Passover was substitution. The lamb was a substitute for sinners. The last plague that God was going to vent on Egypt was the death of the firstborn. To spare his people, he told them to paint the blood of an innocent lamb over the doors of their homes. The angel of death would then pass over. In just the same way, God has substituted his Son Jesus, the innocent Lamb of God, for us in his judgment so that we don't suffer death. And I think probably it will only be on Judgment Day when we understand the divide that will occur, that we will understand just how great a rescue we have experienced because God kept us from everlasting death and condemnation. So as you receive the sacrament this evening, think about the blood of the Lamb that assures your forgiveness. and promises you an everlasting life. It took a lot of faith on the part of the people of Israel, first to believe that God was actually going to vent his anger on Egypt with the death of firstborns, but secondly, to believe that that blood painted over their doorway would spare them that death. It takes a great deal of faith today, doesn't it? To believe how serious God is about sin and the condemnation that sin has deserved. Faith to believe that the blood of Jesus that you would otherwise have earned. We live in a culture that doesn't take sin very seriously. We've turned sin into entertainment. And people scoff at the notion of a real hell. In fact, the teaching that the blood of Jesus takes away our sin is considered crude, even offensive, to some politically correct minds. So as you receive the sacrament here this evening, may your repentance be sincere. And may God strengthen your faith in that blood, which alone can take away your sin. The Passover was a memorial meal. It looked back to the great deliverance that God accomplished when he rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt. And he made them a nation, his chosen people. Bible history will tell you that it took only a few generations before they forgot God's miracle. They forsook the Lord, and they using the Passover. It took another captivity in Babylon before they returned to the Lord and reinstituted the Passover. The Lord's Supper is also a memorial meal, isn't it? Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Does that get old? Are you tired of all that confession? Repeated reception of his body and blood in the sacrament? You get distracted with all the little worries and problems in your life, with the opportunities and the blessings of America? Do you find yourself misled by the temptations around you or the traitor within you? Well then, as you approach the altar this evening, let it take you back to that upper room. And remember the price that your Savior paid to make you his own forever. A friend of mine who's an Old Testament scholar several years ago led us in a Christian celebration of the Jewish Passover in our home. I thought I understood the Passover until then. He taught me all kinds of new things. For example, with the unleavened bread. When matzah, or unleavened bread, is baked, the baker pierces the bread repeatedly. And when it is baked, you get these brown stripes on the matzah bread. And a Christian can't help but think of Isaiah 53, where we're told he was pierced for our transgressions. By his stripes, we are healed. In a Jewish Passover, three pieces of matzah are placed together. They're called the unity. Only a Christian understands, I guess, that that's a pretty beautiful symbol of the triune God, three persons in one unity. At the beginning of the meal, the middle of those three pieces of matzah is broken. It's hidden in a napkin. It is restored at the end of the meal. And a Christian can't help but see in that the second person of the Trinity of God broken for our sins and restored again on Easter morning. The Passover in so many ways points to Jesus, the Lamb of God. But the Lord's Supper does as well. It takes us back to that last Old Testament Passover and the institution of a new covenant. The covenant God has made with you to take away your sin and to take you to be with him forever. As we celebrate the sacrament this evening, may our hearts be filled with gratitude for that great love. Amen.